Today on BulaNetwork.com, episode 208, five benefits of content marketing for clients of service professionals. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. You've heard it. Be everywhere. No, don't be everywhere, because it's not about being everywhere. It's about being where your prospects and clients are. It's about attracting paying clients that you can dazzle. We're going to talk about five benefits of content marketing, not for you, but for your clients. You'll find the blog post to today's show over at Bula, BULANetwork.com/208. Bula is a Fiji term. It means life. In particular, it means life is good. It is analogous to aloha. It means both hello and goodbye. I'm not from Fiji. I've never been to Fiji, but I fell in love with the term over 30 years ago and just kind of became part of the business communication, as I would write memos to staff. The greeting would be Bula! Exclamation mark. Instead of dear or to whom it may concern. Hey, I hope you subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't done that, do that. But, you know, even more important than that, while that's important, tell a friend. Tell a friend. Just don't tell an enemy. The stuff that we produce here is completely free to you. Costs me plenty. That's okay. BulaNetwork.com is the website. Again, show notes can be found at BulaNetwork.com, episode 208. So let's dive right in. He looks at me and he says, I don't have time to blog. And so in my snarky fashion, I ask him the question, well, do you have time to answer your phones? And of course, he looks at me indignantly and says, well, of course. How would you characterize most of your phone calls? I asked. What do you mean? Well, are most of the calls from people trying to sell you something? Or are they from existing clients who need to talk to you? How about prospects? Are most of your phone calls from prospective clients who have questions? I'd say many of them are from existing clients who have questions about their case, but quite a few are inquiries asking us about our services. Are you ever asked the same question over and over again? Well, I knew the answer. I just wanted to hear him say it. Well, mainly, I wanted him to hear himself say it. Of course, all the time. And naturally, you take the time to answer that question every single time, don't you? Yes, obviously. Then why don't you sit down one time, I said, and craft the very best answer to that question and answer for anybody who might ask. Get out front with answering it, because you know it's coming anyway. Don't wait until somebody asks. Wouldn't it be more efficient to answer it one time and make that answer available to anybody online than to answer it individually every single time? He got quiet. He stayed quiet, looked from side to side, and then glanced up at the ceiling. I was thinking maybe the answer was up there, but suddenly there it was. There was the real problem. There was the real constraint. There was the real challenge. He just didn't know how to do it. Didn't know how to do it. And so taking my own advice, I spoke first. I know you don't know how to do this. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm here to help you with. Mainly, I told him, I want you to understand that I know you're busy. I know you need one more thing on your to-do list, like you need a kick in the teeth, but I'm not here to lay more work on you, but I am here to give you a workflow, to give you a process that can help you grow your practice. By the way, let me hawk another podcast that I do over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, leaningtowardwisdom.com. If you're interested in my take on the process, go and listen to episodes 4010 and 4011. 4011 is an interview with Caroline Arnold, leaningtowardwisdom.com, episodes 4010 and 4011, if you're interested in my take on the process. So I tell him, I'm here to give you a workflow and a process that can help you grow your practice, because I want you to be able to serve more people and serve all of your clients better. And in keeping with my trifecta of business, that is, get new customers, serve existing customers better, and not go crazy in the process, I told him, none of that matters if you do go crazy in the process, because this is about sanity as you build your practice, as you build your business. And so he exhaled and his shoulders relaxed and his eyes got, well, his eyes widened. And I could tell that he was beginning to believe. Now, he was just beginning to believe. I knew I had a long way to go, but hey, it's a start. And realizing that he might, heavy emphasis on the word might, be able to incorporate some new marketing strategies into his practice. Well, he hadn't incorporated any new marketing strategies into his practice in a long, long time. Service professionals have a lot of things other than time. They have significant overhead. And it depends on the sector that they serve. But service professionals, you would think, well, they don't have a lot of overhead. Oh, yeah, they do. And it, again, it depends. But whether it's a health professional or an attorney, there are tons of things that clients and prospects don't see that are part of their overhead. There are some things that, well, there are some rules and regulations kinds of things that, many of which, by the way, are subscription-based, and we're not talking about inexpensive subscription-based services. Things that they may need with document management, for instance. And so these are not people who have an insignificant overhead. And if they invite the public to their digs, well, come on, a doctor's office, just look around at the equipment. Look around at the people. Look around at the fixtures. Look at the location. Overhead. Go visit a CPA. Look at the digs. Look at the location. Again, look at the resources in the office. Not insignificant. They also have a business model that is really tough to scale. Tough to scale. For instance, a law firm or a doctor's office, the only way they can scale is more doctors, more attorneys. I go to, well, I don't have to go very often, thankfully, knock on wood, but my physician is part of a pretty big group. There are a number of doctors all under one roof because it's just a more economical model for all of them. And it's the only way that they can really get their practice to scale, because they have high touch clients, high touch patients. That is a doctor, a physician, or an attorney, or a CPA, or a financial advisor. They have to personally interact with every client. Well, you can only interact with so many clients. So how can we see more clients? We need more service professionals in our practice who can also see clients. Think of it as a barber. A one-chair barber shop is only going to be able to cut so much hair. So what do? We add a chair. We get another barber to come in. And then we add a third chair, and we get a third barber to come in. And now we can serve three times as many people. The same business model. In addition, many of them begin their careers with big student loan debt. But the one thing that they lack, the one thing that they all lack, is very much the same thing that you may lack: time. Well, there is another thing that they lack. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them, and that is not enough clients. So convincing them to take on, and if I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you. And if I'm not speaking to you, well, I'm still speaking to you, because it doesn't matter if you're a service professional or not, these things will fit. Just think about it. Be creative and think about your situation as we talk about the five benefits to the prospects or to the clients of service professionals, because I dare say these are the same benefits that your prospects and your clients can derive. Now, if you're a service pro, even more so. Well, convincing convincing you to take on another task. Let's just talk about you for a minute here, shall we? Convincing you to take on another task, I might as well ask you to grow wings, right? Because you're thinking, I can't possibly, I mean, unless there's some way for me to miraculously create a few more hours a week, it's impossible. Or at least you think it is. Now, service professionals are just like you and they're just like me. They know what they know. You know what you know. That is professionally. Whatever you do, whatever service you provide, whatever products you sell, whatever it is you do for money, you know how to do what you know how to do. But you don't know how to do what you don't know. And guess what? None of us do. Now, it can be tough to admit not knowing something when you're a service professional who is an expert in some field of law, medicine, architecture, finances, yada, yada, because you're hired to be the person who knows. And here you are in an area where you feel somewhat lost, except you don't want anybody to know that you're lost because, well, you're a hyper professional. And so what's the result? Well, the result is you keep doing what you know to do. And what you know to do when it comes to business building, when it comes to marketing, well, it's going to tend to be what you have always done, and it's going to tend to be what your peers are doing because, well, that's how you figured out what to do because you talked to some peers, and this worked for them, and that didn't work for them, and so you started doing this, and you didn't do that, and that's all you know. And it's easy to get in that rut to continue to do that, even if what you've always done now, it's not working so well. And maybe it never did work terribly well, but it worked well enough. But it was comfortable. Well, at least you made it comfortable. And so the question comes up, well, what should I do? That's almost always question number one. Well, after an exchange like the one that I just recounted, I mean, some have told me that I'm an idiot for trying to help this crowd of service professionals. I've had a number of people who aren't in this space. And as I began to dive into this space a little over a year ago, begin to tell me that you're nuts because they claim it's not a hungry market. One friend said, they don't know they need help. You're always talking about not wanting to push water up a hill. That's my description of trying to help people who don't want help or don't know they need the help, pushing water up a hill. And so a friend said, you're always talking about that, but isn't that what you're doing? I'll talk more about that in an upcoming episode about business building and marketing. But for now, here's what I'm convinced of. I am convinced that this crowd, service professionals, they need help, and I am driven to provide it. So there. If I'm pushing water up a hill, then it's just because in this instance, that's the decision. So the question is asked, well, what should I do? And that's a valid question. It doesn't give us a framework, though, to give enough detail that any service professional or anybody else for that matter can use. For instance, to simply answer, you should blog, that's an injustice to blogging. It's also an injustice to the service professional. Answering what is like framing up a house. It's necessary, but it's just the start after you've put down the foundation because there's a whole lot of work that went before and there's a ton of work that's going to have to come after the framing. And so it is with any question or any answer to the question, what should I do? How should I do it? Now, frequently, that's going to be the next question. And again, that just seems very logical because once we know what we should do, then naturally we want to know how should we do it. And I don't avoid those questions, by the way, but I am pretty quick to tap the brakes because first and foremost, I'm a business builder. This isn't just about marketing. This is also about management, but the focus admittedly today is on marketing. But because I'm more of an overall business builder or practice builder, I tend to tap the brakes pretty quickly right here because I admit I love being creative and I do enjoy all those soft aspects of business building. And I'm equally fond of all those hard, let's measure it kind of aspects. But there is one overriding question that trumps all other issues for me, because it's the one question that every successful business builder has to deal with first. Why should I do it? Why should I do it? Today, I want to give you five reasons. Five reasons, and this is in context with, why should we produce content? Why should we as service professionals produce content that educates our market? And many service professionals have asked, why should I give this stuff away? All of these are purposefully framed, by the way. These five reasons that I give you, they are all purposefully framed from the prospect's point of view, not from yours. This is about your clients. It's not about you. And yet at the same time, it's all about you. It's about service. It's about building a more profitable, a more successful business, a more profitable and successful practice. So here we go. Five reasons. Number one, your prospects and customers get a better experience. Every service professional, just like every business owner that I've ever encountered, confesses to answering many of the same questions every week, week after week, day after day, sometimes hours on end. Think of the number one question you get asked by prospects. Maybe it's the number one question you get asked by customers. How many times in a month do you answer that question? Whatever that question is, just think about what is the number one question that you constantly are being asked. Now, quantify that as best you can. Just do this in your head. How many times a month do you suppose you answer that question? Now, take that number and multiply it by the number of minutes that it takes to answer that one question. So we've got the number one question. We have how many times in a month we answer that question, and we multiply that number by the number of minutes it takes to answer that one question one time. Now, that's going to be how many minutes every month you spend answering that same question, and we're just focused on one question, your top number one. So if the prospects ask you the same question 10 times a week, that's 40 times a month. And let's assume that it takes you 10 minutes to properly answer that question. That's 40 times a month multiplied by 10 minutes every time you answer it. That's 400 minutes a month. That's just over 6.5 hours a month. One question. Answering one question 40 times a month, 6.5 hours. Now, figure out the second most asked question and let's do the same thing. And we'll assume that because it's number two, not number one, that it's not asked as many times. And so maybe it's only asked 25 times a month. And let's say that it takes half the time to answer. It may take as much. It may take more. But let's lean on the side of underestimating this thing. 25 times a month, and it takes half the time, 5 minutes. Well, there goes another 2 hours plus every month. Two questions, just two questions, and we're up to almost 10 hours a month. And this is where I get real world with clients. No, you may not be able to fully escape answering questions individually for people. That really is not so much the point. But do you suppose that you could cut it in half? If your top two questions are demanding 10 hours of your time a month, do you suppose you might be able to cut it in half? So that would mean you'd gain 5 hours a month. Too aggressive? Well, could you shave 25% off the time spent privately, individually answering these two most often asked questions? If so, you're still saving about 2.5 hours a month. But, you know, we're not saving that time in a month. We're saving that much time month after month after month after month. And the more questions and answers that we can scale, the more time we're saving. And that's time you can spend any way you want. You can spend more time serving clients better. That means you may be able to elevate your fees because you can provide greater service. You can invest that saved time any way you want. Now, listen, it's nice to have choices. In fact, there's nothing better. Because here's what choices represent. Choices represent the very thing that we all want. Freedom. Freedom. You think about the poor people who live in third world countries. What choices have they got? I mean, other than today we're going to find food or we're not going to find food, which means we're either going to live or die. We're going to find water or we're not going to find water. You go to the grocery store and you've got choices of what kind of paper plates you want to buy. You've got many, 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 many choices for all kinds of things. As a consumer, as a person who is going to go out and earn a living, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to take this job? Do you want to chase that job? Do you want to start your own? You've got a lot of choices. You know why? Because you're free. So it's nice to have choices. And when you can save some time, it gives you choices. It makes you freer. And when you scale your time by incorporating content marketing strategies into your business building, you can decide how to spend the time you save. But I digress from the main point here. Your prospects and your customers get a better experience. They get a better experience. Maybe you can go in greater depth because you can pre-prepare an answer and you can provide that answer in a platform and in a format that is suitable to them. When you sit down and explain an answer and educate your prospects, do you use visuals? Do you always use visuals? You can. You can if you predetermine what these answers are. If you provide these answers to your customers in advance, they get a better experience. They may get a more in-depth answer. Are you taking 10 minutes to answer your number one question, but you really could take 15, maybe 20? But because your time is important and you're thinking about billable hours, you don't go into greater depth. But if you were to pre-record that, whether it's video, whether it's audio, whether it's a slide share, whatever it may be, you could go into as much depth as you want because you're creating it one time for as many people who can access it as possible. It's a better experience for the customer. Number two, your prospects can get better answers. You're attending a professional conference, and let's say that this is a small conference. There's about 100 people in the room, and the presenter is scheduled for the first session after lunch, and he has fallen ill. And so the organizers come up to you, and they want you to fill in. They know it's a last-minute request, but the topic is right in your wheelhouse, and they know that, and you know that. And you've only got to fill a 45-minute time slot, and it's right after lunch. It's a terrific opportunity for you. And it'll get the organizers out of this pickle that they're in. And so you agree to do it. Question, will your presentation be better than if you had known weeks prior that you'd be scheduled to present? Will your presentation be better because it's going to have to be somewhat impromptu, or would it have been better if you would have known before you got on the airplane? Very few people can deliver a superior presentation on the fly versus a presentation that has been carefully prepared and rehearsed. I mean, good presenters, good speakers know the power of the edit, and they know the power of rehearsing, of practice, and they work on their speech. They work on their presentation. They hone it, and they hone it some more until they have it just right. And when you're going on the fly, there is no opportunity to craft a better speech or a better presentation because you're live and then you're done. But there's another phenomenon that salespeople and service professionals and frankly every other business person suffer, and that is falling into a rut, saying the same things in the same way every single time. Go back to those two top questions. Remember the top two questions, the one that your prospects are asking. I am betting that you have a rote answer that just drips from your lips and you don't even think about it much because you have answered these questions so many times that your brain and your mouth, they just go into autopilot. You don't even pay much attention to the result of your answer. You don't even ask, is this the most effective answer I could give? Does this answer really engage this prospect? You may not even know. And frankly, in the moment, you may not care. You just want to answer the question. And it's not that you're insensitive. It's not that you're uncaring. It's just that you have turned into Pavlov's dog. And we all do this. Somebody asks us a question. It's the same question that we've heard a million times before. Bam, in our head, we hear a bell. And then there we go. We go off answering this question just like we have 1,000 times before. And what if we're answering it for the 1,000th time and it wasn't a really good answer the first time, but we've got it down? This is what we say. We haven't even thought about it in months, maybe years. Stop. Think about what you're saying. Think about the answer. Can your autopilot impromptu answer, can it be improved? I'm going to tell you, I've never experienced where it not only can be improved, but it can be greatly improved. And you know that's true. And so now is the time to craft a better answer. Prepare, edit, hone it, practice it, test it. And you can put it in any format you want to help your prospects learn a better answer than maybe the one that you've been giving live on the fly for years and years and years. Your prospects get better answers. Number three, your prospects get answers when they want them and more conveniently. The other evening, my son called. He's grown. He's got a family. He wanted to know if I had any experience with Apple's iCloud, especially as it relates to iTunes. And I told him I didn't. I know what iCloud is, but when I hook my phone up or my iPad, I back everything up to my hard drive. I don't back it up to the Apple iCloud. And so I told him I really didn't have much experience with it. I had some awareness of it, but I quickly got online while I'm on the phone with him. I'm in front of my computer. And I tell him to visit the Apple website where he can access their support pages. Now, like most companies, Apple has a knowledge base where visitors can find answers to their questions. Now, it was about 9 p.m. on a weekday night when he and I were talking on the phone, having this conversation. What about your clients? What about your prospects? I imagine that you're not answering your office phone to answer questions at 9 p.m. Am I right? And so your prospect has a question and it's 9 p.m. And you and I both know where they're going. You and I, we know where they're going to go for answers. They're going to go to the web. They're going to go to Google. Okay, maybe they go to Bing. Maybe they go to Yahoo. But they're going to the web. And suppose they go to your website. Can they find the answer? Can they find the answer at 9 p.m. or are they going to have to wait until your office is open? And what if they can find somebody else who will answer their question right now? What if at 9 p.m. they can't find the answer from you, but what if they can find it from somebody else? If they can, do you think that you risk losing them as a prospect? Yeah, you bet you do. So the third benefit is your prospects get answers when they want them and more conveniently. Number four, your prospects can share the answers. Gastroenterologists, those are doctors who deal in digestive problems, that sort of thing. There are about 15,000 of these doctors in America. How many patients do you suppose hear the exact same explanation of a procedure or a diagnosis? Yeah, I don't know either. Tons, tons and tons. Now, how many of those patients do you suppose who have gone into a gastroenterologist and been diagnosed with something that they didn't have any awareness of before, no knowledge of before, and now how many of them do you suppose are asked by their family or friends, what did the doctor say? 100%. Yeah, I guarantee 100% of them are asked by their friends and their family, what did the doctor say? What did the doctor say? And so now, in essence, what they are being asked by their friends and family is to repeat to us what the doctor said. And not only that, but whatever explanations the doctor gave, we want the same explanation. Now, just think about that. Think about that for a minute. Let this sink in. 15,000 doctors in this space in America with dozens, hundreds of patients each. I don't know. All repeating the same diagnosis and explaining it, answering more questions about it, only to have those patients try to repeat it to other people. You know, the phrase that pops into my mind, lost in translation. Used to be a game that we'd play as kids. Everybody would sit in a big circle, and you usually did this if there was a big, big group of kids. Everybody would sit in a circle facing each other, and somebody would tell one person something. Somebody would begin the thing, and the next person was told to repeat it to the person next to them. And this thing could go around, I don't know, 12, 20 times. And by the time it got back to the person who started it, it didn't even resemble what they had said to begin. A lot of things got lost in translation. Same thing here. Now, what if these doctors recorded a detailed explanation of the diagnosis, of the procedure, one that they could share with their patients online? They could go into more detail. They could give patients the opportunity to not only learn more about the procedure, but now they've given patients the opportunity to share that with their family and their friends. And you thought social media was just Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest. No, listen, social media is about one thing, sharing. Sharing, it's interacting. It's what you do every day with your prospects and your clients. It's what you do every day with your friends and your family. Now you can do it 24/7, 365, even when you're on vacation, even when your office is closed, so your prospects can share the answers. Number five, your prospects can decide if they like you and are willing to trust you before they ever meet you. Now, in sales, it's called a lot of things, but mostly I guess it's kind of called pre-qualifying. Now, by pre-qualifying, I don't mean that we take a look at somebody and we size them up and we think, well, they don't have enough money to buy. No, I'm not talking about that kind of poor pre-qualifying. It really just means that we can narrow down prospects to find out who is most serious about buying from us. Now, you've likely done this before. You probably did this sometime in your life when you applied for a loan. You complete this form and that information is used to pre-qualify you. People do it when they buy homes, for instance. That is, can you pre-qualify to even afford this home? If you're out looking at a home that is $350,000 and you couldn't possibly afford a home more than $200,000, well, kind of good to know that going in, isn't it? So it helps us find out if it's even a suitable fit or not. Well, now our prospects can use online resources. Well, they can if we provide them to decide if they like us, if they trust us, if they want to pursue doing business with us. We give our prospects the ability to kind of pre-qualify not only them, but they can pre-qualify us. Now, this gives service professionals, it gives all of us in business, it gives us a number of advantages, but I want to focus on the prospects first. They don't have to call and make an appointment to get some sense of who or what you are. Think about this. In the comfort of their own home, in the comfort of their own office, they can check you out. Maybe they can read some articles or blog posts. Maybe they can watch some videos. Maybe they can listen to some podcast episodes. And some of them may immediately think, well, I don't like him or I don't like her at all. But some others may think, she's really good. In fact, she's very, very good. Your prospects, they can save tons of time. They don't have to endure the hassle. And so as they scour your website, getting to know you, they make some decisions. They don't have to book an appointment. They don't have to get dressed up. They don't have to drive down to your office. They don't have to spend time waiting. And they don't have to waste time just meeting you. They've already met you online. Now, it rubs both ways. Because guess what? You don't have to do any of those things either. Now, how cool would that be? How cool would it be to have a person book an appointment and tell you, well, they call and they tell your receptionist, yeah, I watched a couple of his videos last night and I really liked how he explained things. I'm interested in having him help me. Does he have any openings this afternoon? Yeah, how cool would that be? By the time this person walks into your office, they might be pre-sold and you've never met them before, but you know what? They feel like they've met you. You may not know them, but they feel like they know you. Do you realize what this means? I want you to think about this. Depending on the realm of your work, and this is big, I don't care what business you're in, this is huge. The sales cycle can be compressed. Now, this probably doesn't apply much to medical professionals, but I can tell you it applies to the legal and financial services professional. It applies to most every other service pro that I can think of who are used to multiple meetings before finalizing a commitment. You know, you go to a doctor, you've got a need. You're making a commitment. The only ones that I can think might veer from that pattern would be mental health professionals, therapists, psychologists, or someone may want to go and, you know, we're probably in those instances, we're looking for some chemistry. We're looking for a higher degree of likability. But if we go in with some physical malady, and it's true for a dentist as well, we've got a need. We're not going to go in and have them look us over and say, well, here's what we think needs to happen. And okay, well, I'm just kind of looking around. No, we're making decisions. Now we may make a decision. We're going to come back later and have the dental work done, for instance. But when it comes to these other service pros, you may go sit down with a service professional, or you as a service professional will sit down with your prospects, and you may have 2 to 5 meetings before there's ever any money that changes hands, before the commitment is ever really finalized. I mean, I dare say that financial advisors, depending on the market that they're trying to serve, have to meet with somebody a minimum of 3 times before they land a client. And now think about it. What if you've just been able to shorten it by 1? Well, okay, you've reduced it by 1/3 because the prospect has booked their meeting because, hey, they liked what they saw online. Here's the conclusion. There are a lot more reasons and there are a lot more benefits, but I think these are sufficient to prove my point. You've got to take and make the time, and you've got to take and make the effort to do this. And I know you're tempted to think that your competence and your expertise, those should be the things that suffice to attract people. People should just bow down at your awesomeness. Well, as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? Well, we both know how that's working out for you. It ain't working out for you. Because your practice success is gauged by how many people you can serve and how many people you can help. Namely, by how many clients you can land and dazzle. Now, world-class professional service providers, I don't care if we're talking attorneys, financial advisors, accountants, health professionals, architects, I mean, you name it. The world-class in these endeavors have extraordinary client bases. So annually, you know that you invest a lot of time and a lot of money to maintain and improve your professional competence. You attend all kinds of ongoing educational courses and resources. Maybe you even are required to take exams every so often, and these things have a cost associated, not to mention the time that they take. I am merely suggesting that you have to do the same to improve your visibility so that you can serve more clients, because success when it comes to building a business, when it comes to building a practice, is really nothing more than visibility. It's getting the word out. It's letting people know what we do and how we do it. It's telling people, why me? Why me? Of all the gastroenterologists on the planet. In America, 15,000 of them. Why me? Because maybe you're the only one that's speaking in regular English and telling people, listen, here's the problem. Now, here's its name, and that's funky, but forget that. Here's what it means, and here's what it's doing to you, and here's what we can do to fix it. And here's going to be the course, the remedy that we're going to employ. That would set you apart for sure. It would absolutely set you apart. Five, there could be many more, benefits of content marketing for clients, for your prospects, not for you, but for your clients. And that's what matters here. Serving your clients better. Not going crazy in the process and getting more and more and more and more of them. Serving as many as you can. Spread the word, please. Tell your friends, tell your family about the show. I haven't touted this, but there's a send voicemail tab over to the right side of the website at BulaNetwork.com. You can hit that and microphone on your iPhone or your iPad or the one built in your computer. You can use that to send me voicemail. You can also call 214-736-4406. That number's over at the website. You can call into the show and leave me a recorded message. Just leave your name, website if you've got one. Ask your question or give me your feedback. I'd love to hear from you. You can also email me, results, because that's what we're after. Results at BulaNetwork.com. Randy Cantrell, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.